Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Thanks for being here. And we're going to start this hour in Baltimore, where federal officials have started their investigation into the devastating collapse of the Key Bridge. Last night, a crew from the NTSB boarded the cargo ship that struck the bridge yesterday, recovering the black box, the voyage data recorder. Meanwhile, the search is still on for the bodies of six men who were working on the bridge, fell with it into the cold water. At this point, officials say there is no way they could have survived. Emily Hostetter from member station WYPR in Baltimore is here. And Emily, just take a second on how your city feels right now, you know, from practical things like getting around to emotions.
Oh, gosh. Getting around, there's quite a lot of traffic. All of the traffic that will go over that bridge obviously has been diverted. About 4,800 trucks go over it every day. They are now having to go elsewhere in the city, long routes around the city, because a lot of hazmat vehicles can't go through those bridges. So it's definitely taking some time to get around. As far as emotionally, shock, I think, still that's starting to fade a little bit more into some of the grief for this life that was lost. I will say there is some relief. Now that we are learning more, we realize, you know, they were able to stop traffic that saved, you know, who knows how many human lives. So there is a lot of complicated emotion.
Right. You're referring to the captain of that cargo ship who heroically sent out a mayday, and that did enable people to keep traffic away, keep cars from coming on. But of course, the construction workers were already there. But still, you hold on to that. And now the NTSB has this black box. What are they looking for?
So we know that there was some type of electrical failure, that caused them to not be able to control the boat, you know, that ended up hitting the pylon. So what we're waiting for from them is an exact timeline. And hopefully from that black box, we'll be able to get an idea of what caused that failure and the response up until that point.
Yeah.
So those are the details that we're looking for. We know the NTSB wants to give us an exact timeline, of the events and how they unfolded. So that's one of the things I'm waiting for.
Well, we know that a reporter asked Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg about the structural integrity of the bridge yesterday. Here was his response.
This is a unique circumstance. I do not know of a bridge that has been constructed to withstand a direct impact from a vessel of this size.
You know, and that's such a reminder. They're like floating skyscrapers. I mean, everybody's probably looking at their bridges.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I heard somebody say that it's like kind of the equivalent of taking all of the concrete in Highland Town, which is a nearby neighborhood, and just slamming it into the bridge. It's just an incredible amount of material. Mm-hmm. I did speak earlier this morning to somebody from the Delaware Twin Memorial Bridge is part of 95, I believe. That is a massive, another massive transportation corridor where they actually already have begun to do some preventative work in that regard. So they are putting these barriers up around it. And those would be meant to, so they're, you know, these barriers, they go around the pylons and those would actually be able to prevent a ship the size of the Dali and even a little bit bigger from making it all the way to the pylons where it could, destroy the bridge like we just saw here. Yeah. So nearby, you know, things are already happening. Unfortunately, we just didn't have that
right
here.
Just finally, we know Francis Scott Key wrote the national anthem while watching the War of 1812 from, you know, one of the banks along that water. And as you've reported, this was a bridge built by local African-American workers and is surrounded by black communities. Some watched a family legacy, you know, built by fathers, grandfathers, drop into that water. It looked like a huge, heroic, you know, lovely beast going down. This must be very powerful.
I keep thinking of the line, you know, by the dawn's early light as we watch those videos. You know, for many people, it is like seeing a friend, a part of their family history go underwater.
Oh, dear. We hear what she's saying. It was like watching a friend, you know, and a part of family history go underwater. WYPR reporter Emily Hofstetter reporting from Baltimore. We'll get more with her at another time.